3 years ago today, things started to change for us here in the Commonwealth.
Tonight, a rapidly evolving public health emergency, with Massachusetts confirming its first case of coronavirus in Boston, the eighth in the U.S. so far. The patient, a UMass Boston student in his 20s, who visited Wuhan, China.
Sound there from NBC News, February 1st, 2020. Now, today there have been more than 2 million confirmed cases in the Commonwealth and just under 22,000 deaths. We've gone through surges, variants, openings, closings, and now in just 3 months from now, the federal coronavirus public health emergency will be over. So history has unfolded with us in it. And one archivist from the city of Boston has been quietly collecting bits of it for posterity. Here now to talk about that archive, Marta Crilly, archivist for reference and outreach for Boston City Archives. Welcome back, Marta.
Thank you for having me.
So I have to admit, it's still hard to hear that. It's hard to hear that sound.
It is. It is. It's very recent history.
And how do you think about, all right, let's illustrate this, right? So you're collecting these pieces as you go along, as we're living in history, which keeps coming back at us like that did. Give us an example of something that you've collected in this archive in our lives over the last 3 years that kind of embodies how and why you do this.
Well, I think that one piece of this history that we have that really struck me as I was looking through the things we have collected a few weeks ago is a video that we have of Mayor Walsh in March or April of 2020. And it's a video, they were recording the mayor for social media, but there are some outtakes. And in one of the outtakes, it's discussed how they're going to disinfect everything that the mayor has touched. But in that video, no one is wearing a mask. And it reminded me of a moment I had forgotten about, a moment where we were very careful about disinfecting things, but we were not wearing masks. And I think that that's important because human memory is fallible. And so it's important for us to collect records that were made in the moment to remind us of how things were.
So I'm going to play that sound. So this was sound, and later I'm going to play you the sound of Marty Walsh actually reading the children's book. But for now, I want to get to this little aftermath part that you're talking about.
That was a tough book, but I'll see you again soon. Have a good night, everybody. I'll wash my hands anyway. Okay. Everybody.
So here's two things that are striking to me about that. One is it just underscores what you said, right? This is a moment where, given what we know now, I look back, we're not wearing masks and we're frantically disinfecting groceries, right, and the mail. But also, the work of an archivist is to capture those moments too, right? Because that history was happening and the rest of us didn't know it. And how do you find and know to capture those pieces?
Well, one thing that is really important about working for the City Archives is that we made sure during the pandemic to continue with our regular business processes of transferring records. So these digital records are records that would always be transferred to the City Archives. We discovered that it's really important to keep up with our usual work of transferring these electronic records. And in a period like COVID, those records become especially important because they do capture these little moments behind the scenes that are very important for understanding that particular historical moment and what it was like to be there. Even though it might not seem significant to have these 15 seconds of the mayor and his staff discussing disinfecting children's books, but it really captures what it was like to be in that time when, you know, as you said, when we're all washing our mail, but not wearing masks.
Right. So it's interesting. Part of what you also steward is an archive from 1918 and the flu pandemic that, and it broke out in the fall of 1918 in Boston. And you talk about this process of storing records, you know, when you sent us over, but bear with me. So when you sent us over stuff from now, right, from the last 3 years, it included things like, you know, files from Joyce Linehan, who was, when Marty Walsh was mayor, was the chief of policy. John Barros, then chief of economic development. They're policy documents. They're, we're going to do this. We're opening this. Our statement is this. We're going to require this. And I kind of got that until I saw some of the records that were saved from 1918. snatches of school committee or school reports, little pieces of newspaper cut that seem mundane, but that made me realize exactly how people were thinking and feeling, how many nurses were sick at the given time. And it's 100 years from now, as much as anything, that this matters, right?
Exactly. And I think the records that we have from the 1918 pandemic, that was a huge event in Boston's history. Over 675,000 people in the United States died during that pandemic. Over 4,000 Bostonians died. And as you said, in those records, we see similarities between what happened in COVID in terms of huge influx of patients in the hospital, staffing shortages, schools are being closed, houses of worship are being asked not to meet, crowded gatherings are being limited, people are being asked to wear masks. And I think that if we think about 100 years from now, the records that we have saved from COVID, I hope will be helpful in terms of informing policy decisions and informing city officials and community responses if we are ever to experience a pandemic like this again.
So I'm going to play two pieces of sound that seemingly don't go together, but they will, all right? One is a piece of sound you sent over from the 1918 archive, and this is Pietrina Maravigna, who lived with her family in the North End in 1918, talking about that time.
During the time that I can remember, during the times of the influenza, people helped each other. I know in our particular building, we had one family, there were three members who had contracted the illness. And I know my father went down there with soup, and then the three of them died, and we took the two children in. But that was a kind of a feeling, because they were the kind of a people that you wanted to do these things for, and they would have done it for you.
So it's striking for a couple of reasons. One, just, oh my gosh, to hear this voice from 1918 and bring it forward, and how many conversations like that we heard in the early days of the pandemic here. But also, she talks about people wanting to show up for each other, do things for each other. And of course, we've had a mask controversy in this pandemic. Masks were pushed back on heartily in 1918 as well. And our relationships and understanding about masks also changed over time. You've touched on that, but now here's the other piece of sound, right? Here's Marty Walsh teaching people how to make a mask from a t-shirt.
And then you would just fold it over like that, and then you pick it up, and basically you have a mask. You put it on. There you go. Not too bad.
Which I love the sound of him with it over his face right at the end of that. And of course, later, those kinds of masks, not effective at all. Right? So all of these little hash marks of then and now, the way it changed, the spirit that we had towards each other and didn't have toward each other, it feels like it takes an archive to remind us of the full complexity of these stories.
Absolutely. Both 1918 and then the COVID pandemic that we have been living through are extremely complicated and complex stories. And I think it's really important for us to save a wide variety of records. So individual recollections and reminiscences, like the clip that you just played from 1918, as well as the official government documentation of Mayor Walsh, you know, making a mask, reading bedtime stories to children.
And I'm just going to pause you for a second. People couldn't see, obviously, this radio, they don't see the video, but it was one of those t-shirts that was branded for Boston, right? And so when he folded it up and used the rubber bands, the logo on the t-shirt fit straight. So you were like advertising for the city at the same time with
yes.
the mask. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's a great visual. But I think that having this history is very helpful, because there are commonalities between what happened in 1918 and what happened in 2020 and 2021. In 19, there was an anti-mask league. People were pushing back against masking. There were heated city council debates in cities across the country. Something that didn't happen in 2020 is that in 1918, people were actually jailed for refusing to wear masks. Of course, that's a difference between what happened in 2020 and 2021. But I think that it can build resilience for us to realize that you know, our country, our society has been through this before. I was talking to some students at the Mozart School in Rosendale about pandemic history, and showing them documentation of masks that we have. And one of them said, oh, so my great-grandparents had to wear masks too. And I said, yeah, that's right. Your great-grandparents probably were asked to wear masks. That's something you have in common with them.
So, Marta, you know, you're an archivist for reference and outreach at the city. We're 3 years to the day when the first case is found in Massachusetts. And I have to admit, I just got to say this out loud. Hearing these sounds, talking with you about this, I love it and I hate it. I don't want to be back there, right? And yet we have to be back there. Mm-hmm. On that day, did you say, well, I guess I better get busy?
It took me a few weeks, to be honest, because like everyone else, I was shocked, scared, worried for my family. I have healthcare workers in my family. And something that we realized actually when we were doing this documentation was that everyone in city government was doing their best to mitigate the crisis. And so we couldn't ask them to provide us with documentation.
They were busy doing it.
Yeah, they were busy doing it. And any extra energy they had was being expended on taking care of their families, their loved ones, themselves. And so we looked for ways to document what was happening without adding an extra burden to city workers and officials who were on the front lines. And that happened a couple of weeks into the pandemic.
And one of the ways that you could do that is grab this material that the city was producing. So we promised earlier in our conversation we'd play a little bit of Mayor Marty Walsh, then mayor, reading. This is When I Get Bigger by Mercer Mayor.
When I get bigger, I'll be able to do lots of things. I'll go to the corner store all by myself and spend my allowance on anything I want. I'll wait until the light is green, then I'll look both ways for cars before I cross the street.
And a moment that really hit me is when he finished that book, he said to his staff, yeah, I want to do the giving tree. I think I have it at home. I'll bring it another time, right? These moments of reality that you capture while he's doing it, which is because we were in such an unprecedented time, recording children's books because everyone was stuck at home, right? To keep us connected and read to kids. So now, who gets to see this?
So these are public records. They are available to the public. Some of these records, for example, Twitter feeds that we harvested and archived, you can get just by going to our digital repository. Other records you would have to email us for, and we would send them to. But these are records that belong to the city of Boston. People from Boston or anywhere can access them now, and they will be available, you know, in 100, 200 years. And again, we hope that these are records that will inform future policy decisions, future community responses.
All right. Marta Crilly is an archivist for reference and outreach for Boston City Archives. I continue personally to think that what you do is just fascinating. Thank you for bringing pieces of it to us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's more ahead. When we come back to conversation, we'll be speaking with three pastors who want us to remove the name Faneuil from Faneuil Hall. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.